Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Katrin, singer and vocal and guitarist and pianist.
Well done.
Oh yeah, it's a good start. I'm Jack. I play guitar in Another Sky.
I'm Max. I play drums.
And I'm Naomi. I am sex appeal and bass guitar.
Sex appeal. Wow, not shy, are we? Okay. So we've got a small right-wing town in the Midlands. We've got uni and bandmates. There's a lot of depth and darkness and blackness and sadness, which you are not doing a good job on right now because you're smiling. So you're already blowing your entire cover.
I didn't think about it before we released the album. Otherwise, I probably would have made it more cheery. But
you really need to, you know, get this all out. Let's unravel a few things. Were you all truly music students, and did you all meet there?
Yes, we did.
Wow.
All on the same course, and same year.
So you meet there, you hang out, you look at each other, you say one's got sex appeal, the other one's got a weird voice, the other one can play pretty well. And you say, we're gonna form a band. What the heck? But I don't think so. So tell me more.
Well, hearing Katrin's voice, that was the starting point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jack essentially cherry-picked the best of the best at Goldsmiths.
Yeah, well, when you get to that whole thing, when you get to Goldsmiths, you have to perform almost straight away. So, like, everyone that turns up kind of gets this instant... Yeah, you just get to see what everyone's capable of straight away. And obviously, because it's like... It's almost like being on a competition game show or something, because you've got to this new place and you sort of rise to the challenge of being you for all these new people that are also really good at what they do. So there's a lot of good stuff going on in that first couple of weeks. And, you know, everyone was great, but there a few people stood out, and like, without getting too, you know, against everyone else on the course, these guys really stood out to me. Katrin's voice in particular.
So you really were the Phil Spector Svengali? You really were, like, casting?
No, they don't. No, it's not true. It was a bit more, like, chill and random than it sounds. Like, without being weird, and it's not with the guy. It was a little bit like I came to London wanting to make the best band that I could imagine. That was my goal.
That's cool.
It was also Jack walking along New Cross Road with me and going, I'm making a band with Naomi and Max, and I really need a singer. And then I went, yeah, me.
Yeah, that's so. What I mean. So it is a little bit more chill. But I was already playing with Katrin as a guitar player for her stuff that she was writing. So and these guys, Katrin wasn't even available, really. It wasn't like you were so busy doing your own thing that we were like, oh no, we'll leave, you know. I was like, I'll leave Katrin to it, I'm happy to be involved, but it never felt like it was a possibility that Katrin could be the singer of this band. And then when she was just like, yeah, I want to do it, and then we just did it, and like, we're all loving it to this day, 6 years later.
A small town where a career in the arts is not approved.
Everyone was a classical musician. I wasn't, but it was just a very weird vibe. It just wasn't the done thing. You got a lot of pushback. I mean, even music teachers would say to you, don't do music. So it was interesting. No one did it. No one. So much pushback. How was it for...
Well, that's the thing. Everyone had a really different experience.
Yeah.
Katrin's probably the most vivid. Naomi had a very similar one to Katrin, which probably ties into both you being...
When you started doing this, what did you say to each other? Did you have any sort of chat about what you wanted this to be other than we're going to play? Did you talk about it at all?
We never had any chat. We just... And that is actually quite weird about us. We never sat down and said, what do we want from this? We just played, and whatever came out became what we were. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always been pretty natural. Even with lyrics, like that, we just respect each other's sections, I guess, and we know that we're all good at what we do. And with the lyrics, that was just, you know, that was Katrin's expression, so that's just what it was. We didn't have to talk about that.
Misinterpretations of the lyrics and what is said. this is like, I'm doing this way earlier than I normally would because I want to go back to the early days. But you said it when you were talking about the vision of power and lyrics and attitude. And it seems like from moment one, people are again looking to find corners to put this in. Do you feel that that is the case?
I'm glad you said that because for the past few weeks, I've been finding it really weird. Just like some of the things that got written, I felt like, oh, is that really what I was trying to say? It's really interesting. Once you release something, it's not yours anymore.
Yeah.
But when it's so personal, it's been really like disorientating, I'd say.
When you listen to music, you make it what you want. So if people are boxing things in, then that's just their interpretation. It doesn't mean it's necessarily what it actually is or what it's supposed to be. But people will just, that's just people. They always try and label things.
It's just easier, I think, for people to try and understand it if they pin it down to obvious stuff or whatever. But it's quite deeply personal, this music that we make, and it's kind of hard for it to be pinned down if you really know it.
And we had, because we were unknown, we had that freedom. It could just kind of, over 6 years, morph into whatever it, what we wanted it to be in that moment. So it's really interesting now we've got all this press. It is suddenly like everyone can see you naked.
Where was the moment you turned to each other and said, uh-oh, people are starting to notice we might be legit here? How long ago was that?
This is weird.
It was Manchester when people started singing our lyrics back to us for the first time. That was on the toilet tour, actually. But it was, I think it was towards the end of the tour. And there was one song that we played called Chillers, which isn't on the album, but it always goes down well live. And people started singing the lyrics back on the chorus. And we all kind of just looked at each other like, oh, we're hearing something back for the first time. Like,
yeah, and the really interesting thing about what Max is saying there is, well, this wasn't that long ago.
Well, that's what I'm asking. How long ago was that?
Yeah, so that moment in Max's, you know, from what Max is saying, yeah, maybe a year and a half ago. So this is a year and a half after signing a record deal. Like, we have been slogging it for a long time, even with a deal.
Songs as old as, quote, 6 years old. In that year and a half, where did the switch flip?
It's like got loads of dials and it's slowly turning. It's not a switch. It's like turning and each point is a new turning point. That's what I'd say. Because I have a very different answer to Max. I'd say that we supported Ghost Poet in 2016 and that's when management got interested. So that was another dial up. Mm. And then Manchester show, people...
So that's
screaming the lyrics, another dial-up.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, to be fair, like, Max's answer is really good because that's the first time that we noticed a response from, like, people outside of the music industry getting the band. Like, the music industry stuff's come really quickly for our band, like, before the fans almost, like, in a really weird way. Music nerds that work in the music industry like our band. And then the world is kind of, it feels like we're waiting for it to catch up in like a really weird way that it may never will. But like, we've had a really weird journey because of that. It's been really weird. So like, that's why when Max said that, even for me, it was really interesting. I was like, yeah, you're right. That was the first moment. And it's after so much stuff. Like, we'd already done Jules Holland. Like, we'd been on Jules Holland.
Jules Holland.
Then that happened. It wasn't like we had a massive following and people were getting it.
Without me getting into androgyny and male abuse and this and all that stuff, can we talk a little bit about how you kind of look at what you're doing yourselves versus from the looking glass of everybody reflecting back at you and telling you what you're doing?
I've never actually had to think about it until now. Until you're reading back what you've said in a national newspaper. It is really weird. We've just been able to do it and we haven't had pushback. Or if we did, because I was laying my beliefs down in the lyrics from the get-go, we built a fan base that also share a lot of those beliefs. So the pushback never came from fans themselves, such as, you know, other artists have kind of built a fan base and then gone political, and then it's been really difficult. And I was reading an interview with Declan McKenna, who he had an interview as well as us in Dork, and it was so interesting. He was saying, like, oh, fine, label me a political artist, but politics is life and art is politics. And I'm very much, I very much believe that as well. Like, these are the things that have obviously been on my mind, and it hasn't been weird to me that I've thought about them so much.
Yeah, I mean, we all share the same beliefs. That Katrin talks to us about what the songs are about, and we all respect the opinion of Katrin and her lyrics. But yeah, it's a, I've been questioning this a lot recently personally. It's just why we have to justify what we say so much. Like, it's like, why do you have to do that? I don't know the answer. It's just, it's really weird that we've come, that it's, it is the way it is. And it's really interesting talking to you like this, instead of from just it coming down onto us about why we've done this. It's like, because Katrin wanted to, and we wanted to. It's just bait, like, that's what we wanted to say.
I've realised something about my personality that I didn't know before, which is if someone says I can't do something, it's a shiny red button that I just want to smash.
I'm going to do in the announcer voice, a therapist mom and a scientist dad. Doesn't that give you all the tools?
It does, and it is, I feel like I have had a different experience growing up to quite a few people, but also, like, everyone's so fascinating, everyone's different experiences. I mean, even just us as a band, how different it's all been for all of us. But having a therapist mom and a scientist dad who knew a lot about global warming, it definitely meant nothing was off limits to talk about. There was a lot of shouting at politics on the TV. There was a lot of... it's funny. There's so much I didn't know about myself until we released this album.
The whole idea, back to your fans, of music as medicine, of, you know, of putting lullabies up, of actually taking responsibility to help people. That's pretty brave early on, because it's not as commercial as you should be.
Exactly. Ultimately. I tell you what, we're just really lucky that, like, everyone that's come on board with this band to take it to where it is now, and we couldn't have done this on our own, like, to be here talking to you right now, it's impossible. Everyone has respected us and our vision, and we've never had negative influence, really. We've had a few problems over the years, it's never been perfect, but in general, the team and the people that surround us let us do what we want. And we did what we wanted from the start, and that's kind of the thing. So, like, you know, maybe it was a conversation with Theo, our manager, and we were just like, oh, you know, what can we do in lockdown? You know, well, our music, you know, some people find a lot of resolution in it. Why don't we try and do, like, night lullabies to help people sleep?
What is the filter for Another Sky song? How do you know it's a song for this band?
Ooh.
When it's basically, when all four of us are happy with it, that's when it's done.
Why is your voice androgynous? Because Boy George's voice could have been a woman? Because, I mean, I'm missing the whole, that this is what gets said when there's a lot of female voices out there that don't all sound like friggin', you know, Britney Spears, you know?
I was thinking about this the other day, because for the past week, I've just had Keaton Henson on repeat, which says a lot about my mental state right now. But I adore him. And I was listening to him sing, and I was like, I would put our voices in the same register, this falsetto. So why is it male? Why do people not say him and James Blake and guys who sing falsetto are singing like a woman? And maybe they do, and I've missed it, but I am quite, it is weird for me to hear that so often, because I mean for me, people are just,
because it's not like you're talking to me like this right now, you know.
And it's really shown me what people who are non-binary or trans have to go through, just that constant questioning. Yeah, and we've definitely played into it. We definitely put a giant billboard up that said, people say I sound like a man, Maybe that means they'll listen.
It must still feel good that you are getting playlisted, and that you are get, despite the fact that some of the attention might not be the way you would like to architect it, it still must feel good that you're getting the attention.
Totally. I mean, we're grateful for every single thing that happens to this band. We're sitting in our studio right now, which is our studio, and we have it because of our band. So we're grateful. Like, it's impossible to not be grateful. It's so hard to do anything. Even now, it's so hard. So
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside